Hey, you, wake up. It's Saturday morning, and it's time to jump on that to-do list. But that home improvement project doesn't have to be a chore. Before you jump in, tune in here to About Your House to listen and learn from the most experienced and reputable contractors and service providers in the industry. On today's show, we have Matthew Query of Freedom Contracting Services. About Your House is brought to you by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina. From the hills to the coast, if you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us as we spread a little love. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
To you. Beautiful, beautiful day outside. Get up and smell the roses. They're blooming somewhere, I bet you. And take you a big old whiff. Take your shoes off and walk barefooted. Get healthy. Yeah. Drink you a big old cup of coffee. Sit down, relax, and enjoy 3 hours of Ray Terry running his mouth. Ain't that something? You betcha. All right. Happy Saturday morning to everybody. It's absolutely been beautiful outside. Mm-hmm. Right now, humidity 64%. Going to get up to, 90. Going to get up and crack 90 today. Mm-hmm. That ain't pretty. Mm-hmm. However, looking at the 10-day extended forecast, that's only a 90-degree day in the forecast for 10 days. That ain't bad. And we're going to get down in the lower 80s a little bit. You think it's headed to fall or something outside. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's still one of the hottest months of the year. Don't be fooled. Mm-hmm. Matthew Query's in the house. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Freedom Contracting today. Actually, it's Freedom Home Services, too. Yeah. But we're going to cover all that with Matthew and talk about a lot of stuff today. He's how long have you been home inspecting?
Coming up on 9 years.
9 years. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you were on the show before.
Yes.
But that was your rookie show.
Rookie show.
I mean, it's the first time you're on the show. It's acclimation time.
Yeah.
You acclimated. Okay. I'm going to go back, and we're going to cover Matthew, because before you brought Thomas with you.
I did.
And now you've told me, just to kind of brief y'all, he was Freedom Home Services, primarily home inspection, mm-hmm. and some sideline contracting, right? Mm-hmm. Somewhat.
Yep.
But all that was is a transition.
Yep.
For you, and all right, you went into home inspection.
I did.
And where are you from?
Indiana, originally.
Indiana.
Yeah.
And I know I asked you before, but I got to ask you again.
It's okay.
What brought you to Charlotte?
Job got laid off. I was with a bigger home builder up in Indiana.
Yeah, that's right. You were in home building.
Yep. And then
how long were you with the home builder?
Well, wasn't with them for very long.
Okay.
Like 3 months and then gone.
What happened?
The recession started.
Okay, 2008.
Well, it was before then. So before this is 2005. Okay. So up in Indiana, in the Midwest, it started to hit earlier.
I got you. Okay.
And my boss said, "Hey, I like you, but I can't keep you. But would you be willing to find another place with us?" And I said, "Sure." So they had me interview.
What builder can
place.
I ask?
It's Pulte.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they're up. They're up in. excuse me. They're up in Michigan. Ooh. I have a coffin fit now.
Tickle, tickle, tickle.
Yeah, so I moved down here in 2006. Actually, I visited in January 2006, and it was green and beautiful, and I'm like, wow, this place exists?
Yeah.
Because it's gray, and it's not pretty in Indiana during the wintertime.
Gotcha.
Very just overcast pretty much all the time. And
like Seattle.
I was like, yeah, I've
Seattle never, rains yeah, all the time. Never,
yeah. So I moved down here, and then a year later met my wife, or who would become my wife, and stayed. She's from here. So
cool. She's born and raised in Charlotte.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. And then got laid off again in 2008 from the same builder. So, but
welcome
that's kind of the same.
Welcome to residential building.
Exactly. I mean, my story is not much different, except maybe that I did a move.
On that note. The one thing I know for a fact, because I've been in the industry over 50 years, and I personally have been through 5 recessions.
Mm, sure.
And I will honestly say Charlotte, North Carolina has been very, very good to me.
Mm.
But it's actually good to remodeling. It's good to the home improvement industry,
mm-hmm.
Which I've been a part of now since I walked out of Geringer High School, I think. When I started to learn construction, just like you, going mm-hmm. into with Pulte, what mm-hmm. what got you to with Pulte? How'd you get into construction? Going way back,
my dad was always handy around the house, but my grandfather, I would say, is probably.
So you grew up with tools.
I did, yeah. My grandfather was a mechanical engineer, and you may love this. I'm sure you'll love it. Actually, houses didn't have HVAC. Buildings didn't have HVAC, right?
Up in Indiana, right?
Yeah. Okay. One of his jobs as a mechanical engineer, he worked for, I'll remember it here in a minute, but a large HVAC contractor. He would be in charge of designing the plans to take a building that had never been built for HVAC and install HVAC into it.
Right.
And
re-engineer
it. Exactly. And so
for heating and air.
Pretty cool. But one of my favorite memories of going to my grandfather's house was going down in the basement. He had a shop down there, and
had
the
tools.
Smell of wood, the sawdust. Oh man, I love that. If they could make a deodorant, they probably do have a deodorant that smells like sawdust.
sawdust. Yeah,
I
love it.
That's contracting, man.
You know that what you just said is so true of a wood shop.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
On that note, I've got to take it to this week, put tools in schools. The toolbox got a donation of tools from it came from a woodworker that had these tools in his house, I think. He had a shop somewhere. And he had a 48-inch, 6-inch wide joiner, Delta. And we got it. I say, I got it. I don't have it, but the toolbox has it now. Bandsaw, a nice disc sander. Man, nice stuff, good stuff. And thank you. Thank you. I don't know the name because it was hell from me, but I'm so grateful. These are the donations that the toolbox put tools in schools. The toolbox is going to be a learning lab. But anyway, back to the woodworking. So we got all this woodworking equipment. I'm excited.
Yeah.
But now I've got to find a dust collection system.
Oh.
Well, your grandfather probably didn't have a dust collection system.
Actually, he did.
Really? Awesome. He was an engineer in heating and air. There you go.
He stuck radiant floor heating in his basement.
Oh, yeah.
After he died, and maybe you can expand on this, but I think even me as a young person back then, I didn't take full advantage of the knowledge that was right in front of
me. You had no idea.
And then he died, and, you know, we're cleaning stuff out, and we're over reminiscing, and they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm back exploring in the basement, and there are these pipes coming up out of the ground. What's that? Oh, Grandpa put in radiant floor heating. What?
Wow, yeah.
In, like, the 60s. Yeah. Or, you know.
It just, works. It's common sense principle.
Yeah.
All you need is a boiler, a heater to heat the water, and circulator pump. That's it. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
And it radiates from there.
Yeah.
My goodness, how simple can it get? It's complicated in installation, the system and infrastructure to make it work, you know. But you talk about the knowledge you had right in front of you, right? I got to share something with everybody. This is my week. I'm a big advocate for putting tools in schools and teaching kids how to work. And it has more to do with mental health, creativity, imagination, and mostly empowerment and raising self-confidence in kids.
I love that word.
But I love to empower people, and you can relate to this because of your grandfather and your father and what you've done in your life. When you have the ability to look at something that's broken and it's a challenge and it's affecting someone's life, and you can look at it and fix it, repair it, and make it go away, would that not empower you? Would that not make you feel like a Superman?
Yeah.
In a certain way?
Well, why do you think that so much DIY exists?
Exactly. Exactly. And it's running rampant right now. But anyway, I got an opportunity about 7 years ago, and I'm going to tell this story. Actually, the first time I've told this complete story to anyone. About 7 years ago, as I was reminded by this young gentleman this week, I met a young teenage boy at A.G. Alexander Graham Middle School under the guidance and mentorship of Pete Sheppel Chelms with F3. And Pete, since then, and that's where I met Pete as well, because he called me as a result of listening to this show and said, Ray, could you come over here and look what we're doing or what? Sure, yeah, I'd love to. So I went over and met this young man, Jaquan Enbrack is his name. That was 7 years ago. So I called Pete last week and said we needed to meet. He's a treasure, by the way. We become friends, constituents, and motivators, mentors, collectively, but with Put Tools in Schools, the F3, all this stuff. Because we need more mentors. We need more male leadership role, okay? Role models, okay? And that's what Pete was to Jaquan. So I called him up. I said, I need to meet you and get something. Get that piece of whatever. We need to connect. He says, well, I'm going to be over Plaza Midwood between 12:30 and 1:30. And I said, fine. Where can I meet you? He said, why don't you just come to have lunch with me and Jaquan? I said, fine. So, that's perfect. So here I am 7 years later. I'm sitting beside this young man that ain't a young man no more. He's a man, 20 years old. And he's had his bumps and grinds. And he didn't graduate from high school, nor does he have a driver's license. But the one thing I know he's got is a great mind. Because I sat there at this, and then I said, what are you doing the rest of the day? He says, nothing. I says, you're going to go with me. So I took him. And I need help over the toolbox. Because it's this 4,000-square-foot space that we're going to make a learning lab for training, for teaching, for connecting, all those things. And I need help. It's overwhelming, actually. I'll be quite frank and honest. It's overwhelming. We need help. And this young man shows up. And now I've spent 3 days this week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, with this young man. And I've been teaching and giving him my knowledge. And he's loving it. And he feels, even 3 days after starting, he feels empowered. And you can tell his whole attitude is shifting. And it's because someone cares enough to lead and teach. He doesn't know how to read a tape measure. But we're going to end that real quick. We've already had three lessons. And I gave him a simple math test yesterday, 10 questions, to give me a feel of where, because his GED said, I said, what's your weakest area? He said, math. Okay, we're going to work on math. And, you know, and once you master a tape measure totally, you got a pretty good grounding in math. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know? And because you can connect the dots, because once you master a tape measure, you know, you can do carpentry work day in everything else. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what a tape measure is a foundational learning for. I mean, it's incredible. But anyway, and I'll share this with the world right now. Those 3 days have changed me personally because it's given me more purpose, and I get emotional, mm-hmm. to interact and give what I've got to someone else and have fun doing it, you know, and be patient, be understanding, talk to them, not down to them. And it's just been very rewarding, and it's really given me great insight to what I'm already doing. Mm-hmm. But we need more of this, and that's what Put Tools in Schools is all about.
Love it.
And he had every day's a new day, mm-hmm. in learning, because, mm-hmm. I mean, you can go in the warehouse and I can pull something off a shelf. I said, what's this? And I said,
you didn't ask him to find a board stretcher, did you?
Yeah. Well, we got a planer. We got a planer this week. Good porta cable planer.
That's great.
That was in the pile of tools. Yeah, that's great. And you know what he did? All those tools are dusty, and you know they're dirty. They've been sitting for a while. Mm-hmm. He cleaned them. I said, you're gonna clean this up. You're gonna clean them all up. Mm-hmm. And as you clean them, I want you to look at them, plug them in, turn them on, check them out. Be safe. And we talk about safety. And the bottom line here is, here's a young man that is excited now. Yesterday afternoon, I said, do you want to do this? Question, do you want to do this? And his answer was, absolutely, which gave me more, which empowered me to be the best version of me I can be and help that young man and all the others I can help, which that's what Put Tools in Schools is about. But right now, I got to take a break. Clock says take a break. Turn the volume up. I can't hear it. There you go. Important discussion. That's right. We're going to talk more about Put Tools in Schools upon our return, because I got to give an update sometime, so I'll do it 2 or 3 times. We're plowing into the new school year, folks. Got to teach these kids more opportunities, more empower them, more knowledge. Only for creativity and imagination, because you know what? It's the way God intended it to be. We're all creators. All of us. We just need to exercise it. When you don't create, you don't think. And that's a fact. I didn't do that. Somebody else did. We'll be back with more About Your House right here on Fox Sports Charlotte. If you want to call in, 227-8986. That's 704-227-8986. We'll be right back.
Comes back to tell me she's gone, as if I didn't know that, as if I didn't know my own bed, as if I'd never noticed the way she brushed her hair from her forehead. And she said, losing love is like a window in your heart.
Welcome back. I want to invite, encourage, and beg. Please. We need your support moving into the new year. I just told you about this young man over at the toolbox we're teaching. We're going to be doing this to many, many, many kids throughout this school year in the community and the schools. And we need industry. We need industry to parts don't know it. So we need to do it. Now, we sent out a, we've got a brand new website, and this is what I want to invite you to go do. Invite you to go see the new website, puttoolsinschools.org. Donate, sign up for the newsletter, whatever. You want to be connected, you want to support, you want to do something, go there and just sign up to be a part of it. Okay, that and then you can get updates. Now, whether you participate or come or what, that's on you. I get it. But anything's better than nothing, okay? Because these children, this is about kids. This is about our youth. That's what it's about. Certainly not about Ray Terry. And it's certainly not, honestly, it's not really about the tools. It's about creativity. It's about mental health, giving these kids, like I said, self-confidence, the ability to overcome fears of doing things themselves. And unfortunately, our education system entraps our youth mentally. Now, you may not see that or believe that because your kid would never do that. Well, I'm sorry, but it's happening because that's just what the schools do. And it's not the teachers that are doing it. It's the system. So I made a post last week how much I love teachers. So please don't take this personally. Has nothing to do with you, and I can expound on this, but I'm not going to because it would just aggravate. That's a good word for pissing people off. Yep. Because they get so wrapped up in it. Well, I get wrapped up in it, too. The other night I went to an NKBA meeting, National Kitchen and Bath Association, and I was sitting there, and I got wound up. I wish I hadn't, but they said, whoa, you get crazy about this. I said, well, there's a reason. If you knew how bad it really is, you would understand. And I've been around a lot longer than you have. So anyway, puttoolsinschools.org. We need industry to support us. We've just sent out last week. We had a great week we had a great week in learning. We've got a brand new website. With that brand new website comes the editing and marketing and email and database and all this stuff that keeps up with it. It's all in there. But how do you do it? How do you make it all work? Well, Jack Silas, I love you. Jack Silas, he's on the board of directors with Put Tools and Schools, has embraced the website and the editing and the upkeep and maintenance. Now, he's going to train all of us, but he's the go-to guy. Anyway, done a great job. Sent out emails this week to industry and education people, and we need more schools on the schedule. On this website, there's an events tab. The events tab has a calendar. That calendar will be kept up. The events are going to be on the calendar, like right now. We're going to spend time with the West Boulevard Ministries, I think every Monday evening for a couple hours. Tuesday evenings, we're going to spend a couple hours with Center360.org kids up at Francis Bradley Middle School, teaching them tools, tape measure reading, creativity, what all the things that are out there for them to consider that they don't get in our education system. So we've got those planned now. Yesterday, talked to Mount Pleasant High School. They're going to pick a date in September to have a trades career day. We're at Put Tools in Schools. We collectively will meld into a program that can help the kids. I don't care where they're at. Now, I can't do that. You think I'm talking big, aren't I? Can't do it without industry. Can't do it. So this is all working. It's all happening. And I'm so grateful to all the help and all the people that have stepped up this past year. And it has been 1 year this week that we had our first organizational meeting. So it's been a year, and we've gotten a lot done and made a lot of progress, even though we didn't go to attend a lot of schools last year because I angered people, and they didn't want to work with me. And it's not working with me. I'm working with y'all. Although, you know, you don't like all you hear sometimes, but life ain't all peaches and cream, is it? So anyway, That's an update somewhat on Put Those Schools. A lot of activity. I need your help. I need this community to step up and help. And here's what we really need. Above, we really need a lot of things, but we need instructors. Instructors. They're falling by the wayside like crazy. They're getting old. They're aging out. And it's amazing that at 73, I'm still doing what I'm doing. And I hope I can continue to do what I'm doing. But we need elderly to step up, get involved in this. When I say elderly, if you're above 50, 55 years old, and you need something to do that's going to give you purpose. Now, I know you say, well, I don't want to work with a bunch of bratty kids. And I've heard that. I've heard it. Well, how else are we going to, how else are we going to fix it? Work with it. I mean, it's easy to run away from something. But we've got so many problems and issues in this country right now. We can't run away. We've got to embrace them and hit them head on. And not argue about it. Not fight about it. Love. We can love each other and get our way through anything. Mm-hmm. Love, understanding, cooperation, collaboration over competition. You don't have to be the best. Just step up and do something.
Rising tide raises all ships.
Thank you. And it does. So let's do it. You know, let's do it. I need help. I need involvement. And more than anything, I need it for them. And who is them? The kids, the students. Students are happy right now. They're not. Speaking of kids, Matthew Query, how many kids you got?
I got four kids.
Four kids. God, you just started. You didn't waste no time, did you?
12, 10.
No, you didn't waste time. You just plowed right in there, boy. You started plowing the garden immediately.
Yep.
Sowing them seeds. And look what happened.
Yep. Be fruitful and multiply.
So you got 12-year-old?
12, 10, 8, and 4.
You done?
Yes.
You're done?
Yes, okay. Officially. It would be Immaculate Conception if okay. We had another one.
Well, I say if you're done, you'll know if you're done if you really want to be done.
Oh, yeah.
You can fix that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It has been.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You live in South Carolina, don't you?
I do, Rock Hill.
Did you move to Rock Hill when you moved south?
I did, actually. The HR lady at Pulte actually recommended that I look at Fort Mill, Rock Hill.
Because, that's a good choice.
Yeah, because she said, you'll find a lot cheaper rent down there, and it's really only a 20-minute drive. And I looked down there and said, hey.
That was a 20-minute drive.
Was. Yeah.
Key word.
Depends on where you live now. We still live pretty close to the interstate, which is great. So still not too bad of a drive. But
you know, I know I rant a lot about traffic in Charlotte. But yesterday.
We don't live in Atlanta, at least.
I hear that a lot, and I never go to Atlanta. I can't even remember if I've ever been to Atlanta proper. I mean, I really can't. I don't think I've ever gone to Atlanta to visit, or I rode through it once or twice going south. But outside of that, no. But just yesterday, I had to take Jaquan home, right? He lives about 3-5 miles from me. So I'm taking him home. We're going down Graham Street at 4:00. 4:00 in the afternoon, Friday afternoon, and I'm taking him. I'm headed into town, and I'm going up Graham Street from 85, from I-85. Traffic was backed up for at least 4 miles into town. Mm-hmm. Not 4 miles. That's exaggerating. At least 2, which is 2 miles long way. I've never in my life, and I've lived been out in that area now 14 years, never have I seen it as bad as it was yesterday.
On Friday, rush hour starts about 1 o'clock.
Man!
It's terrible.
It is getting so bad in Charlotte, the traffic, it's unreal. In 77, I've just all but written that off at certain times of the day.
You know what I'd like to push for is for them to extend the light rail down into South Carolina.
Oh, if you look at the original plans for light rail, they had a Jim Dandy magnanimous plan.
It would be amazing.
Yeah,
it would
be
fantastic.
I think it
would solve a lot of things for people that are just driving uptown every day.
Charlotte has an inadequate mass transit system.
Well,
for the size city it is.
The whole of the United States does. I mean,
well, I've been in other cities that really had great mass transit. Mm. Great, relatively speaking. Mm. I never looked at it until I saw a really great mass transit system. Then I said, well, why don't we do that, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, Okay, you came to Charlotte and you got with Pulte.
Did.
And then Pulte laid you off. Then what, after Pulte, and you got back with Pulte here, and then you got laid off again. So what'd you do?
Whatever I could do to make money using my hands. Didn't collect any unemployment. You know, I would go out pressure wash. I tried to get jobs at Lowe's, tried to do little handyman jobs.
When you said you tried to get jobs at Lowe's, what happened?
That everyone else who was getting laid off went to Lowe's as well.
So, I got you.
Yeah.
Lowe's and the big box stores.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, I probably wouldn't have been really happy there. I was just looking for
work. You wouldn't have been.
No. I remember there was a time even where we were just kind of scraping things together, and we would go out, my wife and I, we would go out in the morning when we knew when trash day was. So we would drive around the night before and find things that people were throwing out.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I would repair them, and I'd sell them back on Craigslist, which still exists but is not a safe place nowadays. So made a few extra bucks that way, but I eventually got picked up doing modular home construction. Got hired on as the project manager
in a factory.
That. No.
No. Okay.
I was I drove around.
You did site work.
Yeah.
Okay.
North and South Carolina is great experience. So septic, well.
Yeah, you did infrastructure
clearing
on land.
Yeah, making sure the foundation was built before the boxes got there.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, but I did get to go to the factories.
You had to.
It was great. It was a really cool experience to see it.
I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, that's something that I've gone through, obviously, in 50-something years. I've seen basically all kinds of construction.
Mm-hmm.
And modular homes really intrigued me, as it still does today because of I had an on-site tech, the company that came on the show here, Dwight Morgan, and they build sustainable housing. All commercial metal studs, all metal construction. But anyway, to your point, modular homes to me, there's some good, better, best. Obviously, there's
of course.
But man, you get a good modular home. Mm-hmm. I don't think you could buy a stronger, more substantial house. Because remember, these modular homes are built under roof.
They are, but they also have to withstand being driven down the road at 70 miles an hour, being picked up by a crane, being driven over all sorts of terrain, and still holding together. And you won't find many cracks in that sheetrock after all that happens. Everything is put together in a factory, like you said, but it's there really isn't even any nails. It's that glue foam type stuff that they put.
Polyurethane foam and glue.
They put everything together. And it is super, super strong. They're great structures.
They really are. Yeah. And I've told the story before. I was down in Concord one day doing a dryer vent. And I kept looking, and I was looking up, and I said, man, this house is stout. I was looking at all the framing members and all the way it was put together, and I said, whoa. Then it was strapped with a big old steel rod driving in the ground. And then and there, I said, this is a modular home. And I was looking at it, and I went upstairs, and I asked them if I could, see the house. And actually, she was very rude. Oh. She said, "I'd rather you not."
Oh.
And I very rarely got that in my years of construction, but she said, "I'd rather you not." I said, "Okay." So I didn't see much of it inside. She wouldn't let me, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But I saw enough underneath because, after all, I saw more underneath than I could have seen really up top. But anyway, I just said right then, I said, modular homes are stout. I mean, if they're built like this. Mm-hmm. Then I got thinking, obviously, about they're built in dry weather.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get rained on. Mm-hmm. They're built totally inside, controlled environment. The quality's got to be somewhat better. And speaking of that, this would be a great opportunity to go in here. You've seen a lot of quality issues over your career and
so many quality issues.
What's a major quality issue you kept seeing over and over? And when I'm saying quality, you've done home inspections for new construction.
A lot of them.
There you go. And I didn't know when you said a lot of them, you've done a lot.
A lot.
And
not just while I was working with the builders, but as a
home
independent
inspector.
Yeah.
Right. What's the biggest thing you keep seeing repetitively? Is there such a thing?
I mean, it depends on which area you're looking at. I mean,
framing.
Trusses.
Okay.
I would say the majority of houses have at least one broken truss. Many houses have many broken trusses. The trusses are not set properly. They're wavy. They're outside of the tolerances that are allowed for truss installation.
Sure, 24 on center or whatever. Yeah,
exactly. Vary. Yeah, trusses are not taken care of like they should be. They're dropped in the mud. Sometimes if the project manager isn't on his schedule, they'll be dropped early and they'll be sitting because, you know, rain delays, all that stuff happens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you're not managing your schedule, which is what the project manager does, then they sit there and they get moldy. And yes, there's organic growth that grows on these trusses, and it does obviously die, but you still have that issue. There's all sorts of things, and you wouldn't believe the pushback that my clients get from builders. Maybe, yeah, you probably would, but
yeah, I do. You deal with a bunch of men.
I would say one of the things that is most frustrating to me, even just as of this past week, Thomas was doing a pre-drywall inspection. Every single time we do a pre-drywall inspection, the superintendent says something to the effect of, we're not allowed to give you the plans because it's proprietary information.
That is total bunk.
It is total BS.
That's total bunk right there, buddy.
It's terrible. So here's a couple of facts for you. North Carolina doesn't require a plan review. State of North Carolina does not require a plan review.
Charlotte does.
Well, Charlotte does, but the state of North Carolina doesn't. It's left up to the jurisdictions. And so you go to most areas. So like South Carolina, I can do a public records request. Builder says, we're not giving you the plans. I said, fine, that's okay. I'll call York County and say, hey, I'd like to do a public records request on these plans for this house. No problem. Digital plans sent to us. We're able to look at the house and evaluate it.
But the builder wouldn't share that with you.
No. And it's how the builders are trained, what to say. Like, and I don't, I for the life of me, I don't understand. I know from their perspective why they might not want to show the plans, because there are a lot of unqualified home inspectors, as I told you last time.
But there are a lot of unqualified builders.
Well, there are, but as I told you last time, if you get a home inspection license, it allows you to do pre-drywall inspections. You could have been a computer programmer before, and you pass a test, and you're a home inspector now.
I know.
And you don't know how to do pre-drywall inspections, and you go out and you're like, oh, okay, well, I mean, this wood looks kind of weird. Let's write this up. And so, you know, there's unqualified people that don't know how to read plans. I get that, but I know how to read them. I'm requesting them. I'm looking at them. I'm literally helping you, because I've done warranty for builders too. 10 years plus I've done warranty.
That's awesome.
Well, not 10 years doing warranty, but I've dealt with houses that are 10 plus years old where they have the 10-year structural warranty, and there are major issues. Portions of houses have to be torn apart, and it costs the builder a lot of money. If you would have just shared the plans with us at the beginning, let me find these things. You know, all of this stuff. I'm working together with you.
But see, they don't.
They don't, and I don't understand why. That is one of the biggest challenges that we as home inspectors face, is that
it's always been somewhat adversarial. Okay, well, and I know that because let me elaborate on that, because I've run down this road many times, and actually, it was years before I had a home inspector on the show because of the nature of the beast, you might say, okay? Because home inspectors, we didn't like them. And why?
I didn't like them.
Because they were dummies. Better word for it, but I'll just leave it at that. They were dummies, okay? And they would come out there and write up stuff that made no sense whatsoever.
Kills the deal,
you know, and everything else, and cause more problems. And, you know, and it's lack of knowledge. It's just stupidity, actually. Now, I get everybody needs to make a living, and if you want to be a home inspector, you can go online, take the course, pass the test, and voila, pay the bucks, and you're a home inspector. But you never inspected a home before you took all this thing. And see, that's where I have a beef. But yet, we talked about this, so I'm going to hit on it a little bit. We have become totally certifiable in nature. To whereas if you don't have a piece of paper certifying that you're smart, well, you don't know anything. Well, how's that working for us? Not too good. Because, like I said, now, and I've got to elaborate a little bit here, too, and I'm sorry if it upsets people, but that's just get over it. To be a contractor in the state of North Carolina, you have to pass a test. Contractor's license test, be it limited or unlimited, whichever you go for. You got to have money in the bank. I'm not sure how much at this point, but you got to have money in the bank. Let me stop here. I'm being pushed out on a break. And I come back, I want to talk about this because this in here is part of what we're talking about right now. Quality, craftsmanship. And I'm telling you why it's happening. I've watched it. It's just my opinion. Take it for what you're paying for it. I'll give you money back, full guarantee. But well, let's talk about it. We'll talk about more stuff on About Your House. Got Matthew Query here from Freedom Contracting and Freedom Home Services. We're going to talk about the home services first. For we're going to find out what he aspires to go for.
So many aspirations.
He's in the mood. All right. About Your House. Come back. We'll be here.
Which way to love land? Which way to something better? Which way to forgiveness? Which way do I go? Yeah, it's time to move on. Time to get going. What lies ahead, I have no way of knowing.
Welcome back. Matthew Query in the house talking Freedom Contracting. But before the break, I was talking about the requirements to become a licensed North Carolina contractor, mm-hmm. residential contractor. Mm-hmm. Now, commercial gets a little bit more extensive, mm-hmm. but you're going to get my point here. Okay, so I want to be a contractor, a licensed contractor. Okay. Yeah. Okay, excuse me, Matthew's over here.
You got to join us online to see that.
Right. And by the way, we're on YouTube Live and Facebook Live on About Your House Radio's page. Okay. If you go, you can take a course, and you can take a privately held course or CPCC course, how to pass contractor's license mm-hmm. test. That's the name of the course. Mm-hmm. Passing, it might be worded a little different, but you get the gist. Mm-hmm. You write your check, pay the fee, go to these classes, take the class. Now you've been trained, taught. Trained's not a good word. Taught how to pass the contractor's license test. By the way, it's an open book test.
He's in South Carolina as well.
So now you're taught how to open the book and find the answers to the test questions, okay? So, has nothing to do with building the house or reading the blueprints or anything really about building a house. Okay, you go to Raleigh. You pay the fee. Write that check to attend and take the test. You take the test. And you're required to get, I think, 3 recommendation letters. And you've got to have X amount of money in the bank. And you've got to pass the test. And then guess what? Voila! You are a licensed North Carolina building contractor. You see something wrong with this? How about you? You see something wrong with this?
Yeah, same way with home inspections.
This is what's driving me crazy because an electrician ain't that way. You got to have 4 years field experience, validated 4 years field experience to become an electrical contractor. Why wouldn't that pertain to building contracting? Why? It should. And especially with what we're fixing to talk about, and we've already been talking about. We're talking about building quality. I've even got a new policy, and that's mine, and I don't care who follows it or who even cares anymore. I won't work for contractors. I won't. Why? I just told you why. Stupid has become a serious disease. And if I go out and you're not ready for me when you call me, it's going to cost me money. And now, granted, it's not all about money. I want to come out there and help you because that's what I do more than the money. I want to help you. But I can't go help stupid to a certain degree. And when I go out to jobs and 2 or 3 items I can't do because you didn't do it right affects me. And that's what I see over and over and over again. And, you know, and that's what I'm talking about here. It's a quality thing. And you know what? You listening here as a homeowner, you deal with this all the time. It's a way of life. We've lost work ethic. We've lost quality values. Do it right the first time. Those things don't apply. It's all about the money, unfortunately. And that's what we've come to. Would you agree or disagree, man?
I would agree.
You know, and what you're seeing, and now they won't eat back to the root of what we're talking about. Building contract, now it's become totally adversarial between not totally, but.
It's pretty adversarial, yeah.
You know, and we're always bickering, and it's always something.
I mentioned earlier, rising tide raises all ships. I mean, I think part of what I do, what I've trained Thomas to do when we go and we do these pre-drywall inspections is we're very, very careful about how we talk to the client.
Is the client?
The person building the home.
So the person building the house with said contractor hires you to go do the pre-drywall inspection.
Yes.
Which is used to? Now, I'll admit this. I didn't believe in all these inspections. But now?
10 years ago, I'd have said the same thing. I hated home inspectors. I tell anybody I hated home inspectors, and then I became one because I thought I could do a lot better.
Well, you wanted to raise the bar.
I did. And I did. I'm proud of that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know where I was going
before
that. And
Preston Sandlin.
Yeah.
He's another guy.
Yeah. Totally.
Well, we've had this conversation on air with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we're talking about raising the ship, you know.
Yeah. Well, but, I will tell our clients, hey, everything that we found here is really normal. Like, this stuff might scare you because you think a new home construction is going to be perfect, that you're not going to have any issues. That's just not true. That's why you hired us. We found some stuff. This is not a big deal. You're wide open. Your studs are exposed. Everything's exposed. You're fine. Everything can be fixed at this stage really, really easily. There's no tearing out the walls, anything like that. Nothing that I'm saying in this report is a is a bash against your builder. Look at the community. You see that you're not the only house that he's built, nor she, right? And so, like, they don't have 4 or 5 hours or 6 or 7, however many hours we spend, depending on the size of the house, to spend in your house looking at your home. It's not against them. So don't take this information and say, well, I've got a really bad superintendent. This is just coming alongside them and giving them some additional information that they're not able to gather themselves.
You try to ward off the complications.
Exactly. And I'm not trying to throw the builder under the bus, because
right.
I've been one, and I know what it's like to run 30 houses.
Oh yeah, it's brutal.
It's not okay. You know, and I was in 4 different communities, 3 different code jurisdictions doing that.
But now let's explain to people what a pre-drywall inspection is, if you would.
Yeah. So
is it ready for drywall? The insulation's done, and there's an insulation inspection too by the code
there
enforcement.
Is
there not?
Well, yes, and we can get into that in a minute. I personally had a insulation inspection approved by the code enforcement official from the truck. It was raining. He didn't want to get out of the truck. Handed me the yellow slip through the window and said, "Have a good day." The whole second floor of the house hadn't even been insulated, and I got approved for it. So, that happens all the time. Yeah, all the time. There, code enforcement doesn't inspect houses. They have, and this isn't a bash against code enforcement either.
Sure, it is.
It's not. Because they,
no, I'm kidding.
They have. I talked to one guy one day, and I said, "Oh, you got a busy day." I was his first stop. I got 45 houses to look at today.
There's no way.
Exactly. He said, "I'm not getting to it anyway." But that's why code enforcement can't handle it all. That's why you need a private home inspector to come in alongside the builder, the code enforcement, because we can spend that time. Homeowners think that they're going to spend $0 when they're building or buying a new house. And I think that's...
The system's going to take care of me.
Well, yes, but I think that's part of the poor expectation that's probably not set by a real estate agent when they go under contract. That, and maybe it is, and I actually know a lot of the people that I work with do set those good expectations. But people come in and they're like, "Oh, well, this is going to cost me $800 to do this pre-drywall inspection." Yeah, but I found 12 structural issues. You have studs missing. You have anchors missing. You have broken trusses. Do you know how much money I just saved you?
In future problems.
Do you know how much a structural engineer costs just to write a letter, not even including the contractor that needs to come out and fix the stuff? I mean, you're looking at between $400 and $800 for a $400 for a engineer letter. $800 for a stamped letter, just for an engineer. And I've come out there and I've found all these issues, multiple, for $500 to $800, and you don't want to pay that. And I find this on pretty much every house. It's ridiculous. Code enforcement can't come in and find all the stuff because they don't have the time.
Now, when you inspect, well, we got to take a top of the hour break here. We're going to take a top of the hour break and come back with more information and education. State of the Union.
State of the Union.
That's kind of what we're dealing with. State of building. And, you know, we don't mean to be negative or anything. We're just laying it out there. Facts.
People need to know.
These are things you just need to know what's going on, okay? And call it good, call it bad, call it what you want. I don't care. It's the way it is. It's just the way it is. And all we're doing is just putting it out there for you to know. Okay, this is a home inspector, has been for how long now?
About 9 years
now. 9 years.
Okay.
And he's out there playing in the trenches. Come on back. He'll share.
Crawl spaces.
Yeah, crawl spaces. Playing in the crawl spaces. A lot of them. And that ain't a bad thing, really. I kind of enjoy crawl spaces. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're interesting. You learn something every one you go under.
Yep.
Come on back. We'll talk about it. Right here on About Your House on Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app. Stream us live. By far the best way to hear us. How you listen?
On Facebook.
Facebook. There you go. Facebook Live. YouTube Live. On your browser, FoxSportsRadioCharlotte.com. We're out there. About Your House. We'll be right back.
Join us for Hour 2 as Ray and Matthew Query of Freedom Contracting Services continue the discussion on the industry and their experiences in the field. About Your House is brought to you by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina. From the hills to the coast, if you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us. We'll share our knowledge and provide encouragement to improve not just your home, but every aspect of life. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two here on About Your House. I want to remind you of, you know, we talk about a lot about networking and being the best professional you can be. I mean, I talk a lot about NARI, the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, which I was very active in for, well, many years. Still am to a degree. And on August 22nd, it's typically, their meetings are typically the last Thursday of every month, and they're at a location in and around Charlotte, sponsored by somebody within the industry. This month, not quite the same old, we're August 22nd from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Horseshoe at 1515 South Mint Street. That's from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. You can go online, get more information. That's NARICharlotte.com. I highly recommend to anybody that's in the industry to get involved in the industry through associations, through networking, mm-hmm. through just associating with other people in the industry. Mm-hmm. Charlotte's full of solid, great, and, you know, as we sit here and criticize construction and building, and there's two sides to the coin. You got great and you got lousy, okay, and everything in between. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that's just the way things are. But get better. Become more proficient. Much better at your craft. Attend these meetings, network, and learn from other people that possibly have been doing it longer and can offer you more education and information that can benefit you. So, And don't look at it as you're going to spend dinner with your competition. You have no competition.
Yes.
The only competitor you've got is yourself. If you get up every day and you want to be the best version of you, that's your job. That's it. You don't have any competitors. When we started NARI back in 1990, it seemed to be an overriding theme that we're going to compete with each other. Never did. I never looked at it that way, and nor did my peers, the first members of NARI. And we sat down at the meeting, monthly meeting one night. We all agreed that we weren't competitors. We're peers within an industry that needs more improvement. Mm-hmm. And it was our journey to improve the industry through professionalism and education. And NARI, the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, has a great, great educational program and certifications. Now, I've criticized certifications in a way, because certification is nothing but a piece of paper. And it costs you to maintain that piece of paper every year, but the knowledge is what I'm after. The knowledge to be the best version of me I can be. I don't care if you see a piece of paper on my wall. But see, I'm a little different. We've been trained. We've been educated to be certified, to have the piece of paper, to verify that we have intelligence.
Yep.
And that's where we've come, and it's not necessarily, I don't agree with it.
From a home inspector's perspective, we are not very nice to each other when it comes to raising each other up and not feeling like we're each other's competition. I actually got off of a lot of the Facebook pages for home inspectors, because you can't ask questions of other home inspectors, because you are instantly like, really? You don't know that? You're an idiot. Like, what are we here for? Like, why is that even necessary? I love associations that, like NARI, you know, that it's not competition. I was in a home inspection group, Inspector Empire Builder, IEB, and same mentality. Like, hey, rising tide raises all ships. Multi-million dollar inspection companies, single man operators, all just there to learn and get better.
Yeah.
It's not about like what you know or what you don't know, because we don't all start out knowing everything. We all learn.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we're touching on what I wanted to hit on today with you, because you have gone out there with this, and what triggered it for me is what I've experienced the past 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
The stupid and or the poor quality. Quality.
A lot longer than five for me.
Well, I know, but I mean, it hit home big time, because it's gotten substantially worse.
Yeah.
In the past decade, in the new construction arena, it's gotten pretty bad.
It has, and I think a lot of it, really, when it comes down to it, it's the dollar, right? You want to have a house that people can afford, but you have large builders that have these contractors, subcontractors that work for them, and they want to pay them as little as possible, right?
The worker bees. Well, don't pay the worker
exactly.
bees.
And so, like, when it really comes down to it, the people that are out in the field that are actually doing the work, they don't care. And so you have all these people that don't care, because they're not getting paid enough anyway. They're doing enough just to make a job. Make some sort of a living, and the lack of quality comes from, a lot of it has to do with lack of knowledge.
I do see
within that community, there's a lot of new people that are in there. A lot of apprentices getting trained. Love it. I don't care that you're new. That's great. You've got a guy that knows what he's
great.
Talking. That's awesome.
If you're being trained properly.
Exactly.
And here's the big issue right now that I experience is poor leadership.
Yeah.
Poor training. For example, I know there's a reason, and I don't know what the reason is, and it might not be very fair of me to make assumptions or even talk about it for that matter, but this young gentleman that's helping me in the toolbox, and I'm teaching. He worked with this carpenter that had these tools, not a carpenter, but this master woodworker that had these tools that were donated. And he worked with him for a month and a half, and I said, in that month and a half, he didn't teach you you didn't he to work with you on how to read a tape measure? He says, no. I found that kind of like bewildering to me. Why wouldn't he teach you? But now I know why. He had Parkinson's disease. So, but you see, the point is, when we embrace these kids, our students, we need to teach them and expose them to life skills. Now I'm going to hit on something on Put Tools in Schools that really, really bothers me, but it's been going on for years. And I've got, and it happened again this week. I'm not going to tell you what school, I'm not going to tell you anything, but it happened. I did talk to a CDC at a high school, and we were talking about setting up a possible date for a trades career day. And I said, how many students are in the school? She told me, gave me a number, and I says, how many of those can we see? Well, you can see all of our CTE students, but the other academic students aren't allowed to go to this. And I said, I'm sorry, what did you just say? Well, the principal has said that these students don't need to attend it. And I said, that is what drives me crazy. There has become an overeducated idiot. I'm sorry, it sounds harsh, and it is. But you're telling me these skills, working with your hands, and aren't applicable to these students over here because they're going to college. They're going to college. So that literally keeps them away from going to a trades career day. Does that make sense to you?
It's sounds about right. It makes zero sense.
So what you're doing as an educator is putting three buckets on the floor, tagging the buckets, labeling them, and you're putting students in the buckets. That ain't right, and it should not be done. These are life skills. And what if Miss Brainiac over here, Miss Academia, honor roll student, Betsy Sue over here, wants to go to Trades Career Day, and all of a sudden she sees something that really lights her candles, man. I want to do this. She go home, and her parents say, no, you're going to college. For what? That's what we've got. And see, they're doing this. They continue to do it. In other words, what you're doing, and you don't realize it, you're making a coal pile. You're making working with your hands, your mind, and your imagination less than. I want you to look at it. It's less than. You're setting a class structure and don't even realize it. Why? Because that's the way you've been trained. It goes on over and over and over again. And this wasn't in Mecklenburg County. That's what really got me. I said, and the saga continues. Folks, what we're talking about here is exposing kids to life skills. We say put tools in schools. When you own a house, you need tools. It never stops, does it?
Nope.
Never stops. And you can pay somebody, or you can learn it yourself and do it. Mm-hmm. You know, now I know we've got YouTube and Google, and now we've got another brain fog technology, and it's called AI. Now you really don't have to think. We're being dumbed down, folks. And we're being dumbed down big time.
AI can't read a tape measure.
Nope. Nope. So anyway, but, you know, Matthew, you've seen... Now, you were talking during the break, too. You had to sign an agreement to inspect some contractors' houses.
Yeah, there. It's becoming more common, unfortunately, where larger builders are sending contracts to us to say, hey, when you come on our site, it's also like a limitation of liability, right? If you get hurt, blah, 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 we're not
liable. Oh, yeah, liability, okay. Insurance. Yeah, but, yeah, yeah, more cash cows.
You can't get on the roof. You can't climb on a ladder. You can't get in the attic and walk the trusses. You can't open the electrical panel. You can't, did I say get on the roof already?
Yeah.
Yeah. None of that stuff. Things that are actually, we don't technically have to get
they're
on the roof.
They're essential to you doing your job.
Yeah, exactly. And they're actually, a lot of it is required by our state standards. And they are limiting our state standards. I actually emailed Mike Hadick, who kind of runs the North Carolina Inspection Board up there, and I said, hey, we're getting all these, like, limitations. Is this legal? Can they make me do that? And he said, yes, they can. They own the house. I'm like, golly. So we go in there, and I told a lady that I was telling you this on the break.
Yeah, I want to hear that story. I want you to tell the listeners that story.
There was a lady that called and said, hey, I'm building with this builder, and I would like you to come do a final inspection for us. I said, no. I said, I'm not coming in there to do it unless you want to hire me to come in after you close, because they put this builder puts all these limitations on me, and I don't feel like I can adequately inspect your house.
They've taken the quality of the inspection away.
Yeah,
you can't even perform an inspection that's really a true inspection.
No,
so it doesn't. It kills your credibility.
It does. Yeah, and so I've said no to people that call me that want to do those inspections for that builder.
All right, I want you to hold that thought, because we're up against the clock here on the break.
Yep,
we're fixing to take a break. Matter of fact, you ready to take a break? Can you push a button? I'm going to take it a little early, because I want you to come back and finish this story, because this is indicative of what's going on in the construction industry, residential construction industry, that's become totally adversarial. Now, if you think about time, how much time do we spend on chasing stuff and stressing over stuff that's not necessary? This is what we're talking about here. Added stress, which no one needs. And it's all centered around two things. Lack of knowledge, rules, regs, money. Has nothing to do with quality or taking care of your fellow man, humanity. Money and control. We'll be back to talk about it right here on About Your House. Tune in.
Is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring, bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
All right, welcome back. Got Matthew Query in the house talking home inspections and the quality around building currently today and I would say in America. You know, I can only speak for our local community here called Charlotte Metro, but I'm sure as I have these conversations with people nationally and on the other side of the fence, you might say, they say, Ray, it's not Charlotte, it's everywhere.
I'm licensed in Indiana as well. I've done inspections in Indiana, same.
Same stuff.
Everywhere.
Same stuff, different city.
Yeah.
All right, you were talking about a lady that called you.
Yes. So she called. She said, I'm building with this particular builder. I said, I'm not inspecting the house unless you want to have me come in after you close because I'm too limited. This particular builder requires me to sign an agreement that says I'm not going to do all these things in the house, which are part of my inspection process, and I don't want to be involved with that. And she actually took me up on the offer. A lot of people will not. They'll just say, well, okay, we're going to call somebody else. So I came in after she closed, literally the second day after she closed. Hadn't really even moved in yet. Got up there and found 25 truss issues, broken trusses, Trusses that are wavy, trusses that weren't secured properly, 25 truss issues. And the builder did come back and fix those issues with relative ease. Sometimes they're a little bit harder.
Yeah, they would be.
The problem is, though, it's a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
Because
plus you're crawling around in an area that's not supposed to be really crawled around in a lot called an insulated area.
Now you're messing
area.
With insulation.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the client now or the homeowner now has to take her time out of her day to stay at home to let a contractor in to a house with to fix issues that could have been very easily fixed before closing. But this builder decided that they wanted to limit the ability for inspectors to come in. And one of these, actually several of these truss, broken truss issues, were right off of the attic platform, viewable very easily by code enforcement, passed every single inspection. Why?
Well, this is kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know. The state of the union, the state of building right now. You know, the quality is not there, and it's getting passed. And I'm going to tell you this story. Look, I'm not here criticizing building inspection department. I'm not. Although I am, I'm not trying to. I don't want to. That's not the purpose. We've got issues. We have got issues. As a culture, in our society, we've got issues around building. You know, and if a building inspector's got 45 homes to see in one day, there's no way. You know, I went to a house one morning, and I had to plug a hole and move a duct, okay? And theoretically, what I had to do would not pass inspection. It wouldn't, because it wasn't right. But yet, I was told by the builder, the contractor, that the building inspector was coming right now to check five things. He came and checked those five things, passed all of them, and left the house.
Mm-hmm.
What about this? He didn't even, it was right beside him.
I had a code enforcement official that would walk away from the job if I didn't have the plans in the exact location that he wanted them. He could walk right by my job box, plans right there. He wouldn't inspect the house, and he'd fine me $50. Really? Like, you have the time to be able to come back and look at my – you don't even look at the plans. He doesn't. He didn't even look at the plans.
He just wanted them.
You build to – I tell people all the time about this. You don't build to code. You build to the expectations of that code enforcement official that's assigned to your job. It's terrible. Like, they have the five things that they look at. Okay, cool. I remember building that way. And then I got a new guy, and he came in and failed me. It's like, well, you're looking at different stuff. Now I know what this guy's looking at, right? It's not right.
Does it frustrate you?
Oh, man. Frustrates me so much.
And it doesn't make your job easier.
It
adds complications and stress to something that doesn't need to be done.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm okay being able to go out and do a job and inspect a house, and there be problems. I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay with is a builder saying, "You're not allowed to inspect this house. I'm not going to provide you with the plans." What they're really saying is, I don't really give a crap about what my house looks like. I don't, because I'm more worried about what you're going to find and what you're going to show the homeowner that we missed than actually getting the house right.
You know, all right.
This isn't every builder.
I know.
It's a systemic problem.
It's an overall problem out there
overall problem.
In the building industry. All right, and here's what I want to reflect on a little bit. Why? I'm not a blamer. I don't want to blame everybody, particularly because they've been brought in on it, and they're playing the game the builders are playing. But where's the problem? The problem is lack of knowledge from the builders and the employees of that builder. And now you're saying, well, where do we find good people? Let's put tools in schools. It goes right back to we're not teaching our kids work ethic, all the values, telling the truth, not to blame, to accept responsibility. These are the values I'm talking about that are the problem.
Do you know that people are so very accepting? If I make a mistake and I go to them and say, hey, I screwed up, people are actually really, by and large, very accepting and okay with you making mistakes. What they're not okay with is you lying and then it comes out later.
That's the issue right there. If we all just learn values, we don't use values anymore. Yeah. We're playing games. We're lying. We're deceiving. We're manipulating. And this is what's going on. How do we get here? Lack of knowledge. Lack of self-respect. Lack of disciplines. Owning who and what we are. And this is causing tremendous issues. And I appreciate you sharing all this because I didn't realize it has become more adversarial than it's ever been, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just in my time, I've had multiple builders start doing this thing that you got to sign off on. It's ridiculous.
When really the problem's not you.
It's
the problem's lack of quality in construction.
It's a lot of things. Quality construction is definitely one of the things. I would love to interview, you know, the vice president of construction for this large home builder who is out of Florida, and ask him why. Why do you make your company policy so restrictive to home inspectors? Why are you so adversarial with us?
When they would be better off if they hired their in-house inspector, quality control technician.
Yes, and there is some truth to that, and there are some builders that actually do. I have been in behind there's a builder that hires a third-party structural engineering firm.
Yeah.
The guy that comes out to do the inspection is not a structural engineer, though. And so I've been into houses after they've inspected it, and I've found multiple issues that they have missed. And I don't know if it's because they don't have the experience or whatever, but maybe they don't. Actually, I know that they don't take the amount of time. They typically spend maybe an hour. But, you know, it's time. It's slowing down. It's caring, right? And
it's caring. It's values.
It is.
Basic human values.
Yeah.
All around truth. Truth and telling just the right, doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But no, we run around those issues trying to dodge them when we need to confront them.
Yep.
And this is going on. And we talked about associations.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tremendous amount. The Professional Chimney Sweep Association, you know, was created in this area, I do believe. And, you know, they don't look at it as competing. They look at it as learning, becoming better at their craft, you know. And there's something to be said for certain certifications. I will not doubt. And I got to share this, too. You know, we talked earlier about certifications and the credibility behind some certifications. And Mr. Metella with Detailed Interiors, we had breakfast 2 days ago together and with him and his son, JP. And we're talking certifications, and there are some people that really reflect highly on certifications, customers, and Steve works for a lot of high-end remodeling business, okay, doctors, lawyers, all, you know, professional arena, and he says, and they tend to look for certifications more in their realm than any other class, and he said, and because he's certified three different ways, he's gotten a lot of work through that. And he should, because he's damn good. He really is good at what he does, his craft. Great remodeler. But that therefore, he keeps his certifications up, you know, because he says that's the clientele he deals with, which makes sense. That's like branding, you know. And that's a good thing. But he maintains the professionalism behind it all. So you can have as many certifications as you want, but if you don't have the character, you know, or the work ethic, well, what good is it? And that's what I'm seeing more so than anything is just lack of work ethic. It's like teaching someone, a child, to clean up your room. You clean up your room at the beginning of every day. Okay, if you want to do it at the end of every day, that's fine. As long as you do it every day, it's discipline. You do it. When you're working on a construction job, you clean up after every task. Clean as you go. That's a discipline. Then at the end of every day, you roll the drop cords up, the air hoses up in a nice, neat way, and you put it away. That's a discipline. That's doing the job right. Well, who says it's right? Well, it's more safety-oriented. You're not going to trip over cords. You're not going to trip over air hoses. It's neater. You can get around. And guess what? You can sweep up your mess easier. Now, these are little things, right? But working with a rookie, I had to tell them every move to make. Not after the fact. Did you think about that? And they look at you, well, that makes sense. These things make sense, we're talking about, Matthew. They just make sense. They're fighting you all over them.
There's a builder that's local. I used to work for him. They actually instituted a cleaning program for all the trades. And you walk into their new construction property, you know, framing, whatever stage, and it's one of the cleanest places you'll be in. It's amazing.
It's easier to work in.
Well, it's easier to work in, but it presents an air of higher quality.
Absolutely, every time.
You walk into a construction site that has crap everywhere.
It's horrible.
It's terrible. And you feel, there is a tangible feeling. It's
a total distraction, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's crazy.
I had a rule. I had rules about cleanliness. Because that old saying, you raise with cleanliness is next to godliness. Mm-hmm. So true. Matter of fact, I helped a guy. I built three houses, but I didn't really build them. The homeowner built them. I was just there to kind of consult, and I was acting contractor under their term. I mean, under their, you know, house. Mm-hmm. And I had a plumber. Never forget it, Harold Davis. He said, "Ray Terry, I've been on a lot of houses, and this is the only house I ever been on I could not find a 16-penny nail on." He said, "There was none on the floor. That was the cleanest house I've ever gone into." And I told the homeowner, very first day, I says, we got to agree to something. This house will never be dirty. Nails will be picked up. It'll be neat every day because you're going to find out something. As you move forward, it's going to make a better quality house." And then Harold Davis comes on, he's a plumber. He said, I've never been on a house I could not find a nail. But I could not find any nails, much less a 16-penny nail on this job. He says, "That's amazing." But it's cleanliness.
You know what they do now? They just, at final grade, they just take that and rake it and bury it all in the yard. All that crap.
It's crazy. It's, you know, but
it's terrible.
But a clean job. And, you know, for you rookies or DIYs out there, you know, keeping a neat job is essential to have a quality job. Because quality is all centered around, you know, collectively amongst many different areas. But cleanliness is big.
Doesn't cost much to buy one of those little battery-powered vacuums.
That's right.
Vacuum up your mess.
Yeah. I'm not a big vacuum cleaner. Oh, I got to talk about vacuums a minute here since you
Okay, here we go.
I gave a lesson to Jaquan this week about vacuums.
Okay.
Because we use vacuum cleaner a lot. Shop vac.
Sure.
Okay, shop vac. And I says, at the end of the day, you're going to clean that vacuum cleaner. Why are you going to clean that vacuum cleaner? He looked at me and said, because it's dirty. I says, "How many vacuum cleaners you ever used, Jaquan? I know you're young. You turn it on and dust comes out of it." He says, "Well, a few times." I says, "That's because some owner of that vacuum cleaner does not know how to use a vacuum cleaner. When we go out on a job, what I make sure of before I go out that morning, if I got to use my vacuum cleaner, I clean out my vacuum cleaner. Because I'm in someone's house. And the last thing I want is to spray dust all throughout the kitchen and make a mess. Because remember, we're cleaning up a mess, not making one. So at the end of this day, all this mess you're vacuuming today needs to be removed from this vacuum cleaner, and you need to clean the filter. Well, Uncle Ray, how do I clean the filter? Well, I'm going to show you. And you're going to do this after every day, because there's more stuff you're going to suck in that vacuum cleaner every day, and you're going to create more dust because that filter is going to get clogged up. Now, and to all you shop vac owners, I will not go into a house and use someone else's shop vac unless I take the lid of it off and check it to make sure it's been cleaned. And 9 times out of 10, they're all funky and need to be cleaned out. People, clean your vacuum cleaners out. And then the homeowners, I mean, the ladies of the house use the vacuum cleaner. And I go in the house, you use the vacuum cleaners. Could I borrow your vac? And give me your vac cleaner. And the dang filter's all clogged up, and the tank's full of dirt. And I'm saying, what? So I got to take 10 minutes or so. I got to go clean their vacuum cleaner out. That's a big problem, and that's called laziness. That's what that is, vacuum cleaner cleaning. I hate getting somebody's shop vac, and you turn it on, and dust goes everywhere. God, man. But it happens all the time. That's why I don't use it anymore. Mm. And you cannot cut granite or a counter surface without a shop vac, or you're going to make a mess. And a shop vac is essential for certain jobs. But anyway, sorry to go off on a little vacuum cleaner tangent there. But it's something that a lot of people don't cater to. They'll turn the vacuum cleaner on, dust goes everywhere, and they're just down there sucking more dirt up. I think, whoa, what are you doing? I was across the room on one job. Somebody on the other, wasn't even my business, but turned the vacuum cleaner on, dust went on. I said, cut that off. I think, matter of fact, we went over here and unplugged it. What'd you do that for? And I reached over and grabbed the vacuum cleaner, took the lid off, and says, we're going to dump this thing. That dust is not doing this room any favors. So I did it. And I said, well, thank you. Well, did you learn anything? That was the question. Did you learn anything? Because if you didn't, I just wasted my time. It's important that we learn every day. I mean, that's my philosophy. We've got to learn something every day. I learned something this week. I love to give back. It empowers me to be the best I can be. And that's a beautiful thing. Now, how can we give that to our kids? How can we give that empowerment to our children? Exercise. Teach them. That's what we got to do. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Your kids, what grade are they in?
7th, 5th, 3rd, and 4K.
Wow, you're just on your way.
Oh, yeah. I'm building a deck at my house right now, and actually even before this, my son, my 10-year-old, he loves coming with me and working, and we've done quite a few little things together. It's it's cool for him to watch. He'll ask questions. I'll explain things. I'll let him pick up the drill and, you know.
Sure.
Put in some screws or, you know, just.
Whatever.
Just getting his hands dirty.
Whatever he's comfortable with grabbing hold of.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We did a crawl space one time where we put down a vapor barrier, and it was awesome to have him because he's so tiny. He could just maneuver, and I just say, hey, take this and go over, you know. But and he had such a good time.
And
crawling.
Even doing that, that's what I'm saying, and doing that, look at the fun that boy had.
Had a great time. I got a great picture of us smiling in a crawl space, you know. He loved it.
We can talk more about that, too, because JP, I told you I had lunch with Steve Metella, and I talked to JP. He's 13 and helping Dad, and we had a conversation. I'll share some of that with you when we get back. 704-227-8986. Rishton, what are you doing? Your homework over there? Is that what you're doing? Your homework? I see you're real studious today. All right, we're going to take a break here. Come back on the other side with more Matthew Query talking home inspection predominantly and problems there around in the adversarial arena we live in now. It's a shame. Man, we got to do better.
Got to do that.
Spread some love.
Gotta do that.
All right, come on back. We'll spread a little love all over the place. Come on. Welcome back. Say a few words about Put Toes in Schools. School year started. Various counties around Charlotte-Mecklenburg in full swing, getting revved up for a new school year, 24-25 school year. PutToesInSchools.org. Please visit. If you've got a school in your community or you want to consider exposing our kids to the different construction trades pathways and advanced manufacturing, tune in, puttoolsandschools.org. Step up, get industry involved, get your school involved. Let's just expose the kids to a different pathway other than the almighty four-year degree that all kids aren't admiring, not into it. And that's okay. It's not for everybody, nor are the trades for everybody. Something to consider, we can at least expose them to it and provide them pathways. Whether it be advanced manufacturing, the trades, whatever, we need to show them the full menu. PutToolsInSchools.org. Please, we need your help. Step up. All right, got Matthew Query in the house today talking about, well, the building industry as a whole and what we're dealing with as a whole. Things have gone a little crazy, actually. You know, in Charlotte, it's blowing up. I mean, it is absolutely.
It's been blowing up.
Oh, yeah, it's been blowing up. It's going crazy. Matter of fact, it's blown up to the degree that you are going to stop inspecting. You're going to get out of the inspection? Is that it?
Yeah, I'm primarily getting out of it because it's the money's not there, really. People are unfortunately not willing to pay $500 or so to get their house inspected. It's a lot easier for me to negotiate being a contractor and saying, hey, I'm going to charge this amount. And they say, okay, I don't understand why people are so
reluctant
to invest money when they are purchasing a house. And,
it's a shame. In reality, the shame is having to have it inspected. Not against you, but the quality's so poor today, and that's kind of the topic matter of what I wanted to talk about today. Yeah. The quality has become so poor that you need some assistance in making sure you're getting affirmation you're buying a good product.
Yep.
Now, with custom builders, not much of a problem if you do your due diligence and do your research.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you do your research in your builder, and that's easy to do. Just talk to some previous clients, you know, customers that are living in the homes he built.
Yeah.
Then you get a true reading on what quality he's all about. But you can't do that necessarily with track home builders.
It's true.
And track home builders are essentially the biggest problem.
Yes. Yeah. But custom homes are not immune from those problems.
Oh, no. No, they're not immune. I'm not saying it is.
Yeah.
And
you are paying for that increased quality, though. So there's a dollar behind that. So, but it's a lot of the same trades. same trades are working. They just are paid more, and they're held to a higher standard.
Right. Now, remodeling. Remodeling fits in a whole different sector.
Yeah.
You don't go out and inspect many remodeling projects, do you?
No, not typically. I have, and I've actually had to get involved with South Carolina LLR because of a contractor who refused to come out and fix the stuff that was wrong from a remodel. It was pretty bad. But, yeah, I don't do a lot of remodeling.
The issue here, the overriding issue to all this conversation today is all we're trying to do is pinpoint the quality issues mm-hmm. and what we're dealing with mm-hmm. in residential construction of yeah. today and the downfall
yeah.
of quality. And when really it's all a product of poor work ethic, lack of knowledge, lack of experience, and I don't know what else to put it on, right? I mean, it's just the fact that these kids coming out of college and schools are not educated in building. They don't have in-field experience and hands-on experience. You come out of college with the project manager in construction degree, you still don't know construction.
That wasn't my major. I majored in business.
No, you majored in business.
Yeah, I did. I didn't major in construction, but I got hired by a builder because I had the ability to communicate well. And then I've learned everything in building construction. In building construction. I didn't learn any of it in school.
You never will.
No.
And a lot of people tell me that I didn't learn any of this in school. And you never learn anything until you apply.
You know, it's one of the things I was considering getting this certification, kind of going back on that. You've probably heard of the PMP, Project Management Professional. It's a pretty highly looked at certification. You got to go back to school. You got to get this project management professional degree or certification. Like 20 years in project management isn't enough to earn that. I've got to go and get this
piece of paper.
Why?
To certify your intelligence.
Why is that?
Because you got to write a check.
Yeah.
It's all about the money.
Yeah. So you go and you can get this PMP certification, and I see people on LinkedIn, you know, PMP, whatever, and all these other little acronyms they got behind. And I'm like, but you haven't even done any project management.
Doesn't it feel like we're playing a big game?
It is a big game. Yeah.
It's a big game.
Yeah. I've told a lot of people this. It's a system problem. It's not a.
You got it right
there.
It's
a system problem.
It's just like education system. It's broken. Mm-hmm. It's broken. If it wasn't broken, we would not be having this discussion, would we?
Mm-mm. Nope. I'm not a huge proponent for like more government, but
I don't want any more government.
I would love to see a marrying some sort of a requirement. Hey, we've got code enforcement here that's going to basically certify the house is ready to live in. That's fine, great, but I feel like there would be the houses would be a lot better if there was a requirement that said, hey, you need to hire a third party inspector to come in and look at this, you know. But that requirement isn't there, and so people think that they're buying a new car, which can have issues, but it's not a new car that you're buying. It's a new house.
Man-made. Everything in it was man-made.
That is not put together in a factory,
right,
like a car. That is put
or
together.
Or a modular home. A modular home is built more quality and more quality control, mm-hmm. and you found that to be true in the industry too, didn't you?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Those houses would never get out of that plant with a broken truss.
No. Those trusses are broken either on the road or when they're getting set, and so, but they typically are repaired. So, yeah, it's very, very different to build a house, and I mean just from a footings standpoint, getting the house started.
Well,
if it rains,
yeah.
Oh, forget about it. You know, like you are building a house that's built by human hands with a lot of people in the mix, but you're also dealing with the weather, everything else that comes into play. And there are so many things that can go wrong, thousands of components that are going into a house, and you don't feel like you need to spend $500 or $600 to have somebody else look at it.
Well, according to what should be, no, they shouldn't. But according to the quality standards that we're getting out now, producing, yep, you need someone to check it because the quality issues are bad.
Well, quality issues are bad, and quality standards are there, but they aren't enforced. It's kind of like code.
That's ethic. That's work ethic.
I get it. I get it. System problem.
So we got to force you to be ethical?
Yeah, I guess so.
No! I mean, you know, that's my point. It's called values, man.
I know.
Right, wrong.
Yeah. Why don't we build houses? And this is a True Homes locally. They build houses for friends and family members.
Yes,
I used to work for them. That's their thing. I love that. Like when you're in a house working, whether it's remodeling or you're building from the ground up, or you're just a trade that's coming in to do one piece of the big pie. Why don't you treat that house like you're building it for a friend or family member? Why?
Well, that's what we should all be doing.
Yeah. Well, this duct is in my way, so I'm going to just cut it out to put my stuff in. I'm not going to tell anybody about it. Really? Like, what? Would you do that for your – well, maybe you don't have a great relationship with your mom. Would you do that for somebody that you love, you know?
Work ethic.
Why?
Back to work ethic.
I don't understand why people don't just think that way. But I guess it's just the way I was raised, too. So
thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had a mother?
I did.
You have a father?
I do.
And you had grandparents?
I do.
You're very fortunate human being, you know?
Very, very, very,
very blessed.
Very blessed, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That right there is a key factor.
Yeah.
We've got so much dysfunctionality in our country today that these young men aren't really men because they have no men role models, relatively speaking. It's a tremendous problem. It's tremendous. And that's kind of part of the put tools in schools, getting industry involved, step up, embrace these kids, engage these kids, and teach them how to work with their hands. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of kids out there that if they could just realize what they could accomplish with their hands and their mind, it would change their lives. And it's a fact. I personally watched it, and it's amazing, absolutely amazing. And now you know why I'm so passionate about it, because you can change lives, and it's easy to do. But it's not according to status quo. That's the bad part. Got to play the games. We'll be back with more game playing here on About Your House. Matthew Query, Freedom Home Services and Freedom Contracting. Talk more about where you're going with contracting.
Where I'm going.
What you want to do. How you going to do it. You got a 10-year-old son?
Do.
That's great. I hope he grabs a hold of it.
Yep.
All right. Come back. Hour number 3 coming up right here on About Your House.
Grab another cup of coffee and join us for Hour 3. Ray and Matthew Query of Freedom Contracting Services talk tools, the industry, and life in general. So stick around. Lots of valuable information. About Your House is brought to you in part by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina, from the hills to the coast. If you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
I get, the more I think. You only get a minute, better live while you're in it, 'cause it's gone in a blink. And the older I get, the truer it is. It's the people you love, not the money and stuff, that makes you rich. And if they found a fountain of youth, I wouldn't drink a drop, and that's the truth. Funny how it feels, I'm just getting to my best years yet. The older I get, the fewer friends I have. But you don't need a lot when the ones that you've got have always got your back. And the older I get, the better I am. And knowing when to give and when to just not give a damn. And if they found a fountain of youth, I wouldn't drink a drop, and that's the truth. Funny how it feels, I'm just getting to my best years yet. The older I get.
Let's go. All right, welcome back. Hour number three here, Matthew Queer. We were talking just then about, well, I asked him how old he was. He said 44. We're talking about, you know, well, hey, what a great age. I mean, actually, in my life, I've worked with, in this career called construction, my whole life, and I've watched a lot of men change, transition, grow, become better men, and I've watched some become lesser men. But 40 is a kind of a benchmark, you know, where your head's all the way out, if you get my drift, mm-hmm. and you're kind of eyes open. Now, where am I going? What am I going to do? And now you're kind of shifting gears.
Yeah.
But, you know, you wouldn't have shifted if you didn't have so many hurdles to jump, and it's made it more difficult for you to exist in something you really love doing, or you probably wouldn't have gone there.
Yeah, I was telling you that I was a part of that funnel. You go to school, you pick out what you want to do for the rest of your life.
And
when
how
you're
in the world
16.
Do you know, and you don't know?
Yeah.
Have no clue to what you're going to do.
I have people that ask my 12-year-old daughter, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? Don't ask her that question.
Well, I asked JP the other day.
Ask her what she's passionate about.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
You know, because that also will change, and that's okay. And what I feel like I was kind of forced into was knowing what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And then you get to your 40s and people have midlife crises and they're like, well, this isn't exactly what I thought I was going to be doing, but that's okay. It's okay to change.
Well, and COVID really made that happen, didn't it?
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Changed a lot of people's image and points of view about life in general.
Yeah.
And that's another reason that a lot of people are coming into contracting. And as I sit here and criticize a lot of stupid, well, we're because of the situation, we're incurring more stupid because people are switching up. But that's okay, as long as we deal with it and handle it and address it, you know. But, you know, you were very fortunate. You had a father that was handy. You had a grandfather that was an engineer, and he also was very handy with his hands, very creative. Mm-hmm. So you got it honestly, mm-hmm. you know, but fortunately you got it. You got it both ways.
Yeah, but I was exposed in school too. I had the option, right? I mean, yeah, I had a father and a grandfather who were interested in this stuff, who did it, but you don't have to have a father or a grandfather that is handy or that's interested in in this stuff. What you talk about all the time, and I love it, is putting tools back in school. I had shop class. Yeah. I still have on my one of my little shelves at home a little Purdue Pete that I made in shop class that was made out of melting metal down and putting in a little cast.
Sure.
Remember that? Like,
oh, yeah.
That I can still smell it.
Yeah.
The brown packing. I don't know what it's called.
Oakum.
Yeah. So packing it in there and making my mold, melting down the metal and pouring it in. Loved it. And I still have that thing.
And so you'll never forget.
Never forget it.
Never forget that day.
Making the structure I was in middle school.
See,
so.
Middle school, and you'll never forget that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like my little bowl sitting on my desk.
Yeah.
That I made pottery.
Yeah.
And I made it in art class.
Yeah.
There it is. I can remember.
I have a copper bowl that I made, and I pounded out myself and made it.
Have them little dents all in it.
But it's the exposure.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have to have a parent. You just.
But we have to. We don't. You're right. And that's why we need put tools in school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. If we don't have all the parents, let's make up for it in some way.
Yeah.
Got a caller. You got a name?
Hey-o.
Who?
Gary.
Let's talk to Gary. Good morning, Gary. Ray Terry here. What could we do to help?
Good morning, Ray. How you doing,
sir? I am great. Wonderful. Thank you for your call. What's up?
Okay, I'm in the process of, trying to put some new cabinets and just try to update. The cabinets are like 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm, doing research and, I'm just looking at, scale 1-10 for homeowner, DIYer, to, take on the project and, removal install, or is that something that should be left up to the professionals?
No, not at all. So what you're telling me, Gary, if I can kind of summarize here based on what you've said so far, is you're going to take out the existing cabinets? Yes or no?
Correct.
All right, so you're going to take out the existing cabinets and install new cabinetry, okay?
Yes.
Is that all of you're going to do? Now, in doing so, you're going to take the countertops off, you're going to take the sink out, you're going to remove all the cabinetry and all attachments thereof, right?
Correct.
Okay, and your question is that too much to attempt as a DIY person?
Correct.
Frankly, I think you need a consultant or someone in the industry to help you to be at your disposal. Now, I'm not saying me, but a guy like me, a guy like Matthew, someone that you can get over there and pay maybe $100 or so dollars to help direct you verbally and assist you with thoughts that otherwise you, it's just like you calling me this morning. You're doing it right now. You're calling this show saying, would you advise it? I think it's great that you're willing to take it on, but understand what you're dealing with, because you're going to get into electrical. You're going to get into plumbing. You're definitely getting into carpentry. There's a lot, and if you don't have tools, that's the one contingency that I would add here. You've got to have the proper tools. If you don't have the proper tools, you have no business doing the job. Would you agree, Matthew?
Well, it's going to cost you a lot more.
Yeah,
you
got
to go buy the tool.
You've got, if you're going to buy the tools, and if you're going to go buy the tools, I'd say look online, Facebook Marketplace and stuff, or call a person like me and say what, or, and there again, when you've got that person there you're talking to, he'll tell you what you need. What you, he'll tell you the tools you need, but you're going to need equipment.
Gary, you said you had a 30-year-old cabinets. Is that right?
Yeah, the house was built about 30 years ago.
So one of the things that Ray's saying is kind of hiring a consultant to come in and look at it. When you said that, I thought of a couple different options, because cabinets today are not built the same as they were 30 years ago. So is there an option to save them, reuse them, resurface them, paint them? Buy different door fronts to make them a little bit more modern, because if it's a 30-year-old house, I understand kind of maybe what your cabinet fronts look like. You want to update them, but could you save some money by going a different route. And that's kind of, again, good call in here. But there may be some less expensive options where you could keep what you have or even move it to a different location if you're trying to open
modify
up some wall space. Yeah. But getting rid of those older cabinets, they're probably pretty well built. Wouldn't you agree, Terry?
Well, maybe not, because I go back a long way myself, and, you know, they could be junk. You know, there again, that's another reason that you want to call somebody that knows remodeling renovations, especially, and even somebody that does a lot of kitchen work or has done, mm-hmm. you know. But, you know, depending on what condition your cabinets are in, they could be salvageable. They may not be. You know, because I can remember putting in cabinets 30 years ago that were piles of junk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there again, you need some guidance. And that's what I'd recommend, because if you're not experienced in various things, then you may be kind of overstepping your grounds a little bit. But with proper help, you might be able to pull it off. How old are you?
Soon to be 67 next week.
I heard that elderly in your voice, not to criticize. I'm older than you, but
I would never say that, Gary. Just FYI.
Well, I'm gonna say it. I'm straight up with you, brother. I respect and honor your gumption to say I'm willing to take it on if you in fact are. But no, you're not too old. I didn't mean to imply that. I'm just saying, but age can be a factor in what you're capable of. You know.
Correct.
Now, if I'm 73 and I wouldn't bat an eye doing it, you know, let's do it. I'm all in. But even, you know, you talk about consulting with somebody, there's a methodology to demoing, removing cabinets. Everybody thinks you just go in there and start ripping them out, sledgehammer, beating them. No!
Like on TV.
TV stuff. Yeah, entertainment. Ah, we can do a video here, Gary. We're going to get the sledgehammer and go crazy. No.
Bring your wife in and let her take out some aggression on demo.
Yeah,
those
right,
guys.
Right. You know, and then you got to consider lighting, especially at your age. You know, and where are you going to die, Gary? Where you want to die? Crazy question, isn't it? Crazy question.
Yeah.
But where
at
you
at home?
At home. All right. Is that your home?
Yes.
Okay. So you want to die in that house?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, that's a great thing. That's beautiful. You know, I ask a lot of people that, and they look at me and say, "What do you mean? What, you don't understand that?" But, you know, but see, if you're going to live there, well, then give it some thought. Take proper planning. You got to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you're planning to fail. And even in today's resources and material situations and waiting, and you got to stage it. There's staging methods you need to use for ease and less stress. And you're not experienced, well, that's where that consultant comes in. That makes sense?
Yes, very much sense.
Okay.
I'd add something to that as well, as far as if you get into electrical, plumbing, things like that, something you might not feel comfortable with. Think about if there's a problem in the future, right? Let's say you install a sink and then there's a leak and it damages all those new cabinets you put in. Who at that point is accountable? You are. But if you hired a licensed plumber and pulled a permit, they are accountable. And then
the headache is
still there.
You've got to decide what rules you want to play by.
Exactly. So if you want somebody else to be accountable for a mistake, it still is going to not be fun to go through that if there's a leak and a lot of damage. But you don't have to pay for it twice. So you kind of got to look at it from that perspective as well.
But, Gary, what'd you do for a living?
Had FedEx for a lot of years.
Okay.
Used to own a route on FedEx, and then I was in the transportation industry recently.
Gotcha.
And just retired.
Gotcha.
A couple months ago.
Well, you don't have a background in the arena, okay, which is a detriment to the, you know, to your outcomes probably. So I would definitely, if you're willing to take it on, tools, direction, a plan, you know, and execution properly would be the way to go if I were going to, you know, decide to DIY it. As far as the liability goes, yeah, you could hire an electrician to do the electrical. You get hiring a plumber to come in and put your sink in, your disposer, your dishwasher, your ice maker, all those things. But now if you don't have this or don't have that, once you get that kitchen empty, that's the times you want to bring in the trades and upgrade.
Okay.
Okay? Did we help any?
Yeah, very much so. So how can I get a hold of you?
704-712-4644. Google Ray Terry, Charlotte, North Carolina. It's all there.
Easy to find.
All right. So it's 4646?
4644. 4644. You got it. What part of town are you in?
Okay. University, like Dorada area.
You my neighbor. Howdy, neighbor. I live in Dorada.
Oh, do you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so yeah. So
what road you on?
Off of Hubbard.
Okay, I know where you at. Okay, I got you. Call me.
And I have one other question.
All right, I'm going to have to put you on hold because I've gone beyond my break time. We're going to put you on hold. Hang tight. We'll come back out of the break and go straight to you. Is that okay?
Yeah, that would be great.
Thank you, Gary. Hang tight. We'll be back. We're going to take a break here, folks. 704-227-8986. You're listening to About Your House on Fox Sports Charlotte. I got Matthew Query in the house talking. We're just talking
all
stuff.
Sorts of good stuff.
Good stuff. Come on back. We'll be here.
If never I met you, I'd never have seen you cry. If not for a first hello, we never have to say goodbye. If never I held you, my feelings would never show. It's time I start walking, but there's so much you'll never know. From the long arm of the law, lawman is putting into my running, and I'm so far from my home. Oh, mama, I can hear you a crying, you're so scared and all alone. Hangman is coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
All right, welcome back. I got Gary on the phone talking. Well, he's going to remodel his kitchen. Let's finish up. Gary, you had another question. You back with me?
Yes, sir.
All righty, talk to me.
Okay. Now, you're familiar with the Dorada area, but we have an issue with our backyard that keeps, sinking over the years.
You got a stump hole in your backyard. Mm. Sounds like it. And what I mean by that is it was dug a big hole in the neighborhood, and they dumped trash in it from the building of the neighborhood. Because where you're living, you're in a subdivision, are you not?
Correct.
Yeah, that's more than likely what you've got, Gary. I lived in a house for 13 years that had a stump hole in the backyard, and I kept filling that hole in. It kept rescinding, depression, and I kept having to fill it up. About every 3 years, I'd have to put dirt in there.
I've been in crawl spaces where I found stump holes. It literally was a stump that decayed, and the
stump.
The piers started to fall in.
Wow.
Yeah, because they didn't do proper land clearing.
Right.
Yeah.
So carry on, Gary. I'm sorry I kind of interrupted you. Go ahead.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like a 16 by, you know, 24
gotcha.
To 30-foot area.
Right.
You know, and then over the years, like probably 5 years ago, we put more topsoil in there yeah. and redid the grass. And
it's doing it again, isn't it?
Yeah, and I have to jack up my shed again to level it.
Yep, you're on a stump hole. Sounds very, very, very much like one. That's what you get. I can run by there one day, take a look at it, but it sounds like that's exactly what you got. You got a stump hole that they put in your backyard.
Okay.
Unfortunately, but that's what it sounds like.
Okay, that sounds good. I appreciate you all your time, and I will leave a message on your number.
All right, very good, sir. All right. I'll be back to you. Thank you, Gary. Have a great day. Thanks for calling, man. Appreciate you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Yeah, stump holes. Mm. They don't do them anymore.
I beg to differ.
Oh, really?
I certainly do.
In a rural area, maybe.
No, even in big subdivisions, I've caught.
Really?
I've caught landscapers digging holes and burying crap.
Not too good.
Not too good.
I don't like stump holes.
Definitely still happens. Not as prevalent, but it does.
I've seen some big, big, big stump holes in my life. That used to be common practice in subdivisions. Mm. You know, but if they were smart, they'd put them off to the side where they weren't going to build in the right-of-way areas. But there again,
yeah.
Hey, what the heck? All right, you.
Me.
Matthew Query, you're going into contracting, getting out of home inspection.
Yeah.
You got any areas you're going to in contracting?
Well.
Any specialty niches?
Yeah, so this season of my life, being that I've got young kids, I'm a very family-oriented person.
Sure, that's great.
I live, you know, God, family, country, right?
Sure.
So, my priority after my faith is my family. And so I've taken a step back, and the contracting thing is going to give me the ability to take my kids to school and then pick them up. My wife works,
what's your wife do, if I may ask?
A payroll accountant.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. And, she's really, really good at it. She gets, to work from home one day a week. Which is unfortunate in my opinion. I wish that they would allow her to do more remote work, because what she does is digital. But anyway, I don't run that company. But
they didn't ask you.
Yeah, they didn't ask me. If they did, I'd tell them. I don't have a problem with that. But I can come in and I can my niche that I want to step into, and I've already done a lot of it, is helping the other side of the real estate transaction. So whenever you get a home inspection, our state standards require us to say that we recommend correction by a licensed contractor or a specialist, right? Well, I'm that licensed contractor, and I have the ability and capability to do, you know, light electrical, light plumbing, structural, stuff like that.
Sure.
And I can come
Handyman.
I can come in and do that stuff. I can do it in a timely manner. I can do it for a relatively good price, and I'm the licensed contractor. So that is whenever I'm doing a home inspection, having a licensed person come in, because I've done re-inspections. I've done re-inspections where the client went in and fixed the stuff that I found on the inspection report. The majority, I would say 99.9% of the re-inspections I've done, there is either work that's not been completed, work that's been done wrong, or work that has been made worse because of what they did, what they fixed. Like I give you a great example.
Oh, low.
There was a structural issue. Houses kind of sink in the middle. The structural engineer came out and determined they need to put in an additional pier and girder beam.
Girders.
Well, what that contractor decided was a smart idea was to take that structural element that I think it was a 2-ply LVL maybe.
Sure.
And notch it to allow a plumbing pipe to come right through it. I'm like, really? Are you kidding me? I happened to be out there when the engineer came out to verify the work, and he just shook his head. I cannot believe this. Stuff like that. So if you're getting a home inspection, we always recommend to have it reinspected if you're getting the
validate.
Repairs done.
Oh, yeah, validate. Yeah, absolutely.
But the majority of people, I would say 90%, don't get a reinspection. And then they go years later and they go to sell their house and they say, well, I had that inspected, that was found and it was fixed. Well, no, it wasn't, because you never validated that it was fixed. Because like I said, literally 99.9% of the houses we reinspect, there's one of those three scenarios. I very, very rarely go to even a new construction, very rarely go to a property and the builder has taken care of everything. As a matter of fact, when we do pre-closing inspections, that client will often hire us for warranty inspections, and we'll verify those items. And a year later, some of the stuff that we found on that pre-closing inspection
still
not done, or was done wrong, or was made worse. And so in this season of my life, because I only want to be in the field working from 8 to 1, and then I can pick my kids up, and I can do office work at home, but be with them. That's my choice. That's what I want to do. And contracting gives me the opportunity to do that right now.
So you basically want to do the punch work.
Yep.
Basically.
Yep. Of course.
I went to the NKBA meeting the other night. I was told, and the lady asked me, do you know a handyman? Now, I got another question.
You do.
Well, maybe. Are you going to be logistically governed by North Carolina, South Carolina?
So I'm only focusing on South Carolina.
That's what I am. Question.
I'm a licensed residential builder in South Carolina. I have a business license in North Carolina, but as of right now, even though I have been asked by multiple realtors, get your North Carolina license, I don't want to right now.
I know why, too.
There's
it
a
holds your
reasons.
Foot to the fire.
Well,
that's the reason I was never a contractor. It's the reason I never got a contractor license.
So there's two reasons
It governed me.
So there's two reasons for me. One, there's a lot of work in South Carolina. I don't need to leave.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need to leave Rock Hill.
Fort Mill, Rock Hill, Clover. My gosh.
Yep. The other reason that I found out relatively recently is North Carolina is not kind to contractors when it comes to collecting payments from people that don't want to pay you.
I know.
You have to go to small claims court. You can't just file a mechanics lien. And if it's over a certain amount or under a certain amount, it doesn't make it even worth it.
The older you get, Matthew, the older you get, the less of a problem it's going to be, because you're able to pick your clientele.
Oh, well, I do that now. I was having a conversation with that buddy.
I am so tired, and that's another reason I won't work for contractors. I got to wait on my money. Then I typically not only got to wait, I got to call you. Mm-hmm. Why do I have to call you to chase my money?
Yeah.
I did the job. I did it very well. Did it when you wanted it done. But yet, then I got to play by all your rules on top of that. Mm-hmm. And now I got 60 days under me here, and I still ain't seen my money.
Yep.
Get it.
Yep.
And that's why I won't. You know,
yeah.
I don't mind waiting a day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, maybe even a week. Mm-hmm. Don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, then it becomes a job for me to chase.
Yeah.
I got enough things to chase. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be chasing. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the other side of the relationship.
Yeah, I'd imagine that you can spot this from a mile away. And I have started to know my worth, but I also recognize a bad client pretty quickly.
Yeah.
When you say, right, you walk in, you start talking to them, you get a feeling.
Intuition.
I walk away from those jobs now. And I think that too many people don't, and they get stuck in. One of my first big jobs I had kind of in the interim of being laid off and different jobs, and I had gotten my residential license and had started a big job. There was a guy who promised me the world. Oh, it's a $150,000 remodel job, pretty big for a
a
guy just getting started, and end up losing $13,000 from that job, and because I didn't know what I didn't know at the time.
Right.
And, I'm going to take care of you. I'm a veteran, too. And, we'll stick together, and I'll make sure that you're taken care of.
Told you exactly what he thought you wanted to hear.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, man, this is such a great experience. It's going to be great. It was terrible.
It was a great experience, just not one that you want to remember.
It was terrible. It was a great experience, though. You're exactly right.
Yep.
Yeah.
We all go through them.
Yeah,
and that's part of our education, is it not?
Yeah,
It really is.
Yeah,
but yeah, clientele. And you know what? I was talking to my buddy Steve Mattel, and I hope this doesn't offend him, but not speaking about him at all. Mm-hmm. But he told me that he doesn't like working for millennials. Mm-hmm. He said the young people, they don't know what they want. They think that TV is the rules, and that and it's just they're totally unrealistic. Mm-hmm. And they think they know more than they know.
They're governed by the highlight reel. They see a DIY show, and it's all nice and pretty, and it does. I mean, we're gonna come in, we're gonna do this. It looks great, and they don't show any of
the problem.
Crap that
no.
goes on,
no.
and the wormholes that you go down if you
matter of fact
find something.
Let me talk a little bit. I watched a show. I love these conversions of box vans into tiny homes and buses into tiny homes.
Those
and all
are cool.
That. They're really neat. I watched a conversion show last night. It's about 45 minutes. And they took an old Thomas square bus.
Oh, yeah.
And it had a V8 diesel in it. And it looked had a lot of power. But they converted it, raised the roof like 3 feet.
Mm.
Then they completely remodel the inside of it.
They keeping it drivable at this point, or is it?
Oh, it was drivable, completely drivable. But they parked it to do the reno upfit.
Sure.
They just parked it and left it there, basically. Just they leveled it, parked it, and started the conversion. I watched the whole thing. What they didn't show to me was appalling. And the windows and doors are going to leak. There's no question, but they didn't zero in on those details. And the weight they put on this van, this bus, I could not believe what they put inside that van. Oh, it's beautiful. Marble on the floor or some kind of surface material, be it Decton or whatever it might be. Marble in the shower, full-size shower, all the weight. Quartz counters, and I keep on saying wait, but I just, and when it was all said and done, it reminded me of that show used to be on ABC called something, but it was a weekly show, and they'd build a house in 7 days or whatever. totally crazy, and it didn't belong on TV because it was unrealistic as heck. Did not show you all the pitfalls. Same thing last night.
Hmm.
When the show was over, I said, you didn't even discuss this. And what'd you do about the crack? What'd you do about, I didn't see you weld that seam, where water could, anyway. And that's what you get when you show somebody that's been doing it their whole life things, but it's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't entertain me to a degree because it was wrong, some of the stuff they did. But the weight they put in that bus, mm-hmm. my gosh.
Yeah. Well, it's not even a slam against their previous caller. Gary is like, hey, can I do this? Well, one of the things you got to consider is the tools.
Got it, man. It takes equipment.
And you're like, wow, I see this pretty Instagram or this pretty, TV show, DIY. Oh, I can do that. That looks awesome. I can do that. That's no problem. Well, you don't consider all – I mean, maybe you could. You don't have all the tools, though. How much money is it going to cost you to buy these tools
or rent them
when a contractor already has these tools,
right?
And can come in and do it for you. So.
Now I love here again. It goes right in line with put tools in school.
Yep.
I advocate DIY big time.
Sure.
I advocate. But I don't advocate just jumping in the fire without a hose that's close by to put the fire out.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, and these people that jump in here, well, what are we going to do now? I don't know. You need a table saw. Or you need a oscillating saw. You don't have an everybody's got an oscillating saw, or should have. Man, that's a good tool.
It's a good tool.
I got three of them, you know. I got one with a cord on it and two with batteries, you know. But, yeah, the tool factor in any job is very, very, very important. You've got to have what you need. Now, on that note, not everybody can afford to run out here at the big box stores or wherever, tool store, whatever, and buy expensive DeWalt, Milwaukee, top-of-the-line tools. You just can't afford it. But have you ever considered Harbor Freight? You ever go to Harbor Freight? What's your feeling about Harbor Freight?
Do I go to Harbor Freight? Is that, yes, I do go to Harbor Freight.
Yeah. What do you think of Harbor Freight?
I like it. I do think that, you know, there are some really great things that you can buy there, especially if you're just kind of getting started.
Right.
But you shouldn't have great expectations that those things are going to last forever.
They've got two lines in there that are absolutely phenomenal priced and quality. Bauer being one of those names. Bauer's a Harbor Freight house brand. Mm. And, you know, there again, I'm just telling you, if you're a homeowner, DIYer, where you're going to use these tools maybe once a year, or twice a year, three, you know, whatever, or even take on a kitchen remodel, perfect place to go buy tools. Perfect.
Not if you're a contractor, necessarily.
No, but if you're starting out as a contractor. Yep. Now, when I go to Skills USA competition, I go into carpentry over there, and what do I look for? I look at the tools. Mm. You see a lot of Harbor Freight tools for these young carpenters, these apprentices and stuff. A lot of them. And I said, Harbor Freight. You can point them out, you know. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's a great starter tool.
Yep.
Now, DeWalt and Milwaukee don't like me saying this, but I don't care because I want to help the homeowner. You can't afford, you should, but you can buy a lot of used tools, too, as well.
People going out of business trying to sell
right.
tools.
A lot of there's a lot of tools out there just laying in garages and in storage rooms all across this here city that people hadn't touched. I could go on about this for a little bit, but I got to take a break. So let's take a break. Final break of the show. You listen to About Your House on Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app, stream us live, go on your browser, foxsportsradiocharlotte.com. We're here every Saturday morning, 8 to 11. Today, Matthew Query, my guest, Freedom Home Services, Freedom Contracting. And next week, who knows who's going to be here because I'm not sure yet either. I know what I'd like to do, but we'll talk about that next Saturday. So come on back. We'll be here.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus in America too. She's a good girl, is crazy about Elvis, loves horses and her boyfriend too. And it's a long
All right, welcome back. Let me clarify something here before we take a caller. Thomas is calling in. We'll get to him in a second. Earlier in the conversation, I was talking about a stump hole. Well, I'm old school, and we called a big old pit dug in the ground in some land somewhere to throw trash in. We called them stump holes. But, yes, you could call them trash pits, you know, construction debris, air. I don't know. There are probably other names in the industry. And if you know one, you can call us in or get on Facebook and make a comment. I can't think of the other name we called them. But at any rate, there you go. I just want to clarify that, because a lot of people call a stump holes a hole that a stump used to be in. Well, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That's good. But we call trash pits stump holes. So this is what we did, because stumps went in there, old parts of trees went in there, construction debris went in there. Everything went in there. Wouldn't surprise me if the old trucks weren't in there. But anyway, moving on. Let's go to the phone and talk to Thomas. Good morning, Thomas. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. What you up to today?
I'm in the middle of an inspection down deep into South Carolina.
Deep? What's deep mean?
Let's see. Where am I? Elgin, South Carolina. Almost to Columbia.
New house, old house? What you looking at?
Looking at 2011. Two-story, two-bedroom, three-bath.
Crawl space?
Mostly fairly easy, but there's still stuff that's done wrong from the construction, from the beginning, that wasn't caught. So,
right. You don't say. I got you. So we're talking to Thomas. He is going to be the new owner?
Uh-huh.
Head cook and bottle washer?
As soon as he signs that check.
There you go. We're going to have a check signing party, are we?
Hey. No.
Yeah.
Hey, let's do it.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, cool. I appreciate you calling in, Thomas, and I hope it goes well for you in the inspection area. And next time we do a show, I want you to come in and talk more about what you're finding in new home construction.
All right, sounds good.
Can you do that? I appreciate you calling in today.
I can do that.
Okay. But what did you find that should have been corrected? Cue us in, because we talked a lot about that today. Mm-hmm.
So they're mostly on the exterior vents. They've got one of the vents. It's got vinyl siding, and there's no J channel around it, which means water is, as soon as the caulk wears out, which it probably has, water's going to get behind the siding. If house wrap wasn't used, then it's going to start damaging the wood sheathing.
Probably not back then. 2011.
Yeah.
2011 in South Carolina, probably not.
Probably not.
But then,
can't imagine what the wall looks like sheathing.
Yeah, so that's an area that needs to be, if it's great, that's great, but it needs to be maintained, because you're not going to take all the siding off and rewrap it. But and then the other issue was they've got two vents coming from the bathrooms, I believe, coming out of the soffit, but they used wall vents. So that little flap that is supposed to naturally, by gravity, hang down, it hangs down all the time.
I was going to say, well, that means they stay open all the time.
It's a great place for birds, because birds can go vertical and hang up in a, make a nest up there. They would love that.
And bats love them
too. Bats would love that too, yeah. So, yeah.
Raccoons?
Yeah.
Yeah, any
snakes?
Any critters?
Fun stuff.
Yeah.
Fun to find
a soffit vent just for that.
Mm. I know. Yeah. They did back in 2011.
I know they did, because I put them in before. Sure did. Well,
they must have been out of stock, and they used whatever they had in the truck. So.
They make and sell those things in Elgin as well, so I'm sure.
Elgin. Well, that's great. Well, thank you, Thomas. I appreciate you calling in today.
Yeah.
And
thanks for taking my call.
And go make it a great Saturday afternoon, okay? Don't get too hot.
I will. As soon as I finish with this, I'm going to go listen to some music somewhere and go to a coffee shop and do some other things down here.
There you go. Visit it. Tell everybody in Elgin we said hi.
I'll do that. I'll go door to door. Just
tell them to put tools in their schools down there.
Yeah, put tools in schools. We wouldn't have this crap going on.
That's right. Sounds great.
Thank you, Thomas. Appreciate you.
All right. Y'all have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. That's good. I tell you, it's crazy. I got a question going back on, and I meant to ask you this, and I apologize for bouncing back, but did you ever find the foundations were out of level and the bottom plate did not meet the foundation?
Yep.
There's a gap under the bottom plate.
Yep.
Did you see much of that?
Large gaps. Yeah. That's the sill sealer. They've got the sill sealer.
Yeah, I know. But if it's a big gap, a sear sealer ain't going to see it.
Yep. It's interesting, though. Sometimes you'll walk into a house that's finished new construction, and the wind will blow, and drywall dust will show up on the floor, and people will be like, I just cleaned my house. Why do I have drywall dust? And I would get a call, be like, I've got drywall dust coming out from underneath my wall. Well, That's because you don't have a good seal.
You've got space down
there
between you
and
him.
They didn't seal it.
The energy that you're wasting or spending on is appalling. If you had that situation right there, that's worse than a disappearing stairway crack. It's horrible because every time your furnace comes on, your comfort system, you got negative air pressure pulling in air. Golly. And now I bet you saw a lot of that.
Yep.
And all that's attributed to an unlevel foundation that's covered up by the wall. And that was a question I meant to ask you because I was watching a video the other day about home inspection. I don't know how that showed up because I didn't go look for it, but then I saw that several. One, the home inspector was talking about it. One of the common things they see is this gap. But how do you look for it? Because you can't see it.
Well, one, you got to be hired at the pre-drywall inspection.
And then you can see it very vividly.
You can see it if you look for it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's another.
I would say a lot of times you can even find it on pre-closing inspections because you will see that sill sealer hanging out because they haven't trimmed it.
Right.
Well, you know that there's a gap there. All you got to do is look. I mean, even at the pre-drywall, you can see where that sill sealer is not present.
Sure.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's just not looked at, not fixed. So.
Right. Well, I know that when I saw that, I said, I would like to know how many houses out there are built on an unlevel foundation.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with even grinding down the slabs. You know, where there's high and low spots, there's a lot of those because that can transfer up into the second and, you know,
stories above.
But
if you got a lump in your slab, that's just going to make it higher there.
Doesn't take much. Yeah. I inspected a new construction recently where, and this is something may just go down a rabbit hole, but decks and porches, they do not get footings poured at the same time as the rest of the house. And sometimes they don't at all.
That doesn't surprise me.
And I found one recently, and I went out. And I was looking at the plans. I had the plans, and I said, "Okay, well this covered patio here has footings that are supposed to be here." So I found something. I kind of probed the ground. Nothing. Kind of dug away a little bit. Nothing. No footings. No footings at all. And so it was just a covered patio. I mean, but there's still some weight.
There's some weight there. Yeah.
But I'm not a structural engineer. I'm going by the plans. Plans say it should have it. Builder ended up fixing it. It was very expensive for them to do so after the fact. And of course, I didn't. I tried to make the client feel that, you know, hey, no problem. This can be fixed. But that was definitely something that made them very concerned about the quality of their house because that was found. Now, would it cost them a lot more had that slab cracked and the roof pulled away from the house? So it was good that we found it then, but that's very typical.
You know, there's a lot of chimneys in Charlotte that are pulling away from houses.
No footer under the chimney.
And there's a lot of chimneys that aren't installed correctly on a proper foundation. And what happens over the years, it settles and literally pulls off the house at the upper portion.
Yep.
Slants out.
And what that does for the inside where the firebox is, that fire, that heat can go up into the wall cavity because that thing is pulled away from the studs. You can literally burn your house down from having a fire because it's pulled away.
Yeah, and all these things today, and I really appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.
We got a minute left here. But we're just throwing the caution flag up, saying these things are what exist. This is a reality in our situations of building today. To beware, buyer beware. And we predominantly talked about, unfortunately, large tract home builders and big subdivisions and that sort of thing, because that's typically where we find these problems. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Still exists, though, in custom.
Oh, it still exists. There's now, I'm not here to say that problems aren't like this in new custom construction, because they're very prevalent. Mm-hmm. But you find them more in the production situation.
Because there's more houses.
A lot more houses. Like, natural. I call them house farms. They go in there and they plant little seeds, and all of a sudden all these little houses pop up.
House farms.
You know. Thank you, Matthew.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate
Honored.
You coming in.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's great. We'll
yep.
do it again.
Yep.
And next time, bring your children.
Okay.
One or two of them,
sure.
anyway.
All you right, don't make want it, the four-year-old in here.
I don't care. Make it a great week, folks. Go out and mentor a child. Find the elderly around you. They need help. Believe me, they do. They won't ask for it. So let's go spread some love and make it a great week. We'll be back here next week with more about your house.
Happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. There's nothing wrong being in love with someone, yeah.